Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight, we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And folks, welcome to Hope is Alive, and welcome. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard from Oklahoma.
And good evening, Ralph. Are you there with us, brother?
Good evening. I sure am. Good evening to you.
Awesome. Well, so glad to have you guys. I'll be here. I know we've got at least one caller, so I'll sure staff the phones and be right here at the Radio Ranch. So looking forward to the program.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Well, Brother Everett, how are you?
Well, I'm blessed, and it's balmy down here, hot and dusty.
I know. We got up to 73 degrees. Quite a turn from when I saw you the other day.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I'm told there's going to be an abrupt change as well.
Yes, we look like we might have ice coming our way. That's unfortunately, that's what we get in the Ozarks. We don't get snow, we get ice.
Yeah, all right. That's not fun.
No, it's not. No, it's not. How about you lead us with a word of prayer before we get started, brother?
Sure. Well, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we just continue to thank you for your son, Jesus. And what he did for us at the cross, that through him we truly can live life abundant and with all these blessings of the new covenant. Thank you, Father, for sending your son as that sacrificial lamb for all mankind, and for whoever will accept him can have life eternal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, as a comforter here on earth today, the power that backs as we speak, we ask you to coordinate us here now and guide us and just show us how to do this. We just put it all into your hands. And we forbid any interference by the darkness of the world. We speak the protective blood of Jesus over us now. And the show and equipment and everyone concerned. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you just can't thank the Lord enough, can you?
Well, it's just so awesome. So awesome. And that we're partakers because we accepted Him as the Lord of our lives. We're partakers of all these blessings. What a deal.
It sounds like a good deal to me. I haven't come across a bad deal when it comes to the Lord.
No, and it's almost too good a deal. There's so many people that can't get around to accepting Him and what He did for us and who He is. Yep. And we all have a continued job along those lines.
Well, as many of you out there probably know, we had a gathering of men this past weekend. We've been promoting it here on Hope is Alive for the last couple months, and 16 men gathered from, I believe it was 9 states across this nation to grow closer to the Lord, to reach a state of freedom with deliverance, and trained to perform deliverances. And it was a Holy Spirit-filled weekend. I saw many magnificent works of the Lord. This just awesome. The power and the presence of the Lord was absolutely awesome. Brother Everett here had brought, I believe it was 3 of his men to come over with us to fellowship with us, perform deliverances on a few men that had not gone through deliverances, gave us wonderful teachings as far as their experience and testimonies. We're going to have Brother Jim on here at about halfway through the hour, going to give us one of those teachings that he brought to us. And then it was just, all the power of the Holy Spirit was just moved so much this weekend. I saw the transformation of several men that you could just see it when they came out of it. They were a new person, an absolute new person. The one of them even looked like he was younger when he came out.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I'm sure you've heard that testimony over and over.
Well, yes, it's not unusual for people to look younger. In fact, we used to, at our other location, we had a mirror on the wall so people could go over and look at themselves after the deliverance, because it's like their faces soften and they just look younger. Yeah, that's so typical. Amazing as it is, some people even lose weight during the ministry session. So I often call it a Jesus overhaul, Ralph.
Well, it is a Jesus overhaul. It is. I mean, I have been through several, and each time I felt more of a release. Not quite. I think the first time I felt the biggest release, but, you know, it seems that there was a few things lingering around, some things coming by assignment. One time we found out, and the enemy is there to take us out, and he uses the demonic forces of darkness, the demons at his disposal, to come and attack at us. And it's just so awesome to have that power that we have in the name of Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to apply that, and it's just wonderful that when you finally learn how to use it, that we didn't have the power; it was ignorance. And when you learn it, it's that empowering, and it's just so easy to brush it away. It's just so easy in Jesus' name, just to brush it away.
Well, that's right, and so many Christians that have never been through deliverance, they have the power, but they're just they're leaving their weapons in the holsters.
Yes.
They're not applying the power, and they, in fact, I was just like that until I was 44 years old, but I had no idea about demons being around to this degree and even tormenting Christians. You know, a lot of people think Christians are immune when you get into this kind of ministry, and everybody you're ministering to is a Christian already, just about all of them. And they're not born again. We get them through sin, you know.
Well, it is kind of foolish to think that demons cannot harass and torment Christians. I mean, it's obvious they do. it's obvious that because we are Christians, that we're even more so of a target. Obviously, the unsaved out there, those that have not repented and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and gone to the watery graves of baptism, obviously they are too, but they're not near the threat that a Christian is. And even Peter was attacked by Satan and was even called Satan by our Lord when he said, "Satan, get behind thee." And so when you become a Christian, you are a target. But it's just so awesome to know that the Lord didn't leave us in sin and say, "Okay, there you go, you're all on your own." He gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. We know that in Luke 10:19. And the Great Commission, he gave us he told us what we were going to do. He already gave us the authority, but told us that we would speak in new tongues, cast out demons, heal the sick. And it's just amazing, absolutely amazing, the authority that there is in the name of Jesus. And we all gathered at Pastor Everett's place there. He has on Monday nights in Oklahoma City to get trained. And the war room was packed before the night was over. I can't remember if it was 7 or 8 people that came for ministry, but we probably could have had 10 people in each person if we wanted to.
Yeah, I couldn't help but scratch my head over that. It was a pretty big group.
It was.
Go ahead.
I said, well, it was a pretty good-sized group. I mean, we brought about 16 of us there. Now, one of our brothers in Christ could not stay and had to leave early, so we still had plenty there to learn. But people kept flooding in. And we did have a time of worship and praise before the Lord there, which was just wonderful. I mean, you could just feel the Holy Spirit there. You could just feel the presence of God. As everybody got prepared for spiritual warfare, and people were praying and praying, some praying silently, some praying out loud. There was people singing praises to the Lord. It was just the magnificent power of the Lord. It was the presence was just so much there. And it really just charges the batteries, and the blowing of the shofar before we go into battle. That lady, I don't know where she gets the lungs to blow that shofar.
She sure had some wind with it. She went there with the shofar, the tone going forth. I it had been nice to have timed it. She just kept going.
She did, and it was that one steady tone. It wasn't just like and then she blew, and again it was just one steady tone. And she is not a very large woman. She is a petite lady. And that was definitely the Holy Spirit moving through her to blow that shofar for battle.
You know, that lady, you wouldn't think it to look at her, but she was a former Navy chief.
Yes, I heard that.
I've been in the Navy, and I can appreciate what a chief does. A chief is the one that really does the nitty-gritty of running the Navy. The officers give various orders, and the chief and all those under him or her apply what needs to be done. So I tell you, it's really hard to become a chief. So that speaks very highly for her.
Well, she does seem to have a sweet spirit about her. It's hard to believe she was a chief.
Yes. She doesn't fit the mode of barking out orders, you know.
No.
Just to look at her.
No. Well, I bet she does a good job of barking orders out to the demons when she's in the middle of
that's right. She does.
In the middle of a deliverance session when she's ministering to somebody. Now, I'd like to, if we could, talk a little bit about the gentleman that you ministered with, because it's my understanding that the night before he was about to commit suicide, and even went as far as purchasing the rope to hang himself. Am I correct in what I heard on that?
Well, that's correct.
Okay.
He was quite distraught. He just has become a new grandfather,
uh-huh.
and his son and then his daughter-in-law, she apparently, for some reason, I think she needs ministry from what I was told, but they didn't want him to come see the new baby, his grandchild. And it just tore him up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the enemy was feeding on that, speaking additional lies into his head, and finally saying, well, just go ahead and take yourself out, that kind of thing. Which the spirits of suicide are amazingly common. And as I've often mentioned, three of my grandchildren have had suicide thoughts, but they all contacted me to pray with them. And, yeah, we blew those things out. Even got the head demon up in one of them. And anyway, it went well. It was a little hard getting going, but we just kept at it and went through the steps. And he yawned some and burped some. Wasn't heavy duty manifestation or anything. I just did basic deliverance of working the problem list. And of course we did inner healing on all that. And we went through the limb check, and he already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues. But there was two other men sitting in with me from your group. And we all marveled. About halfway through working the problem list, you started seeing the changes in his face. And by the time we finished, it's like we were talking earlier, he looked younger. And in fact, he looked great. And he was smiling and laughing and didn't come in that way. So that's our Jesus again, and he gave us the tools from the Bible. And the commands to do this, it's for all believers, all Christians, to do this kind of ministry. So I'm still on a high.
Do you know how the man found out about your ministry there? Do you know how he came across it? I mean, the night before he was talking about taking the time.
You know, he said he had come some years back to deliverance ministries. And at one point, he was even telling me, well, God just wasn't directing him, or nothing good was happening. And I said, well, he must have directed you because you're here.
You know? Well, amen. I mean,
he kind of blinked. Well, I guess the Lord did.
Well, that was the enemy lying to him. That's all there is.
Yeah.
Because you'll know the spirits by their fruits. They come to kill, steal, and destroy, and that is that's a demonic fruit of a spirit that tells you that you're no good, that you'd be better off dead, no one loves you, all these lies that come to a person during these thoughts of suicide. And, you know, it'd be absolutely ridiculous to think that a Christian could not have those thoughts and a demon couldn't do it. Absolute foolishness, because we know Elijah was a Holy Spirit-filled man. That man did one... I mean, that man... prayed for 3 years and no rain came on the earth. That man took on all those prophets of Baal. That man was a man enough to, when the prophets of Baal were done, he took a sword to him and killed every single one of them. And then the next day, he's sitting under a tree wishing he was dead. So for anyone out there to think that cannot happen, that demonic influences cannot influence a Christian, is probably not under the right spirit as it is. And it's just people out there just realize this, that there are doors that can be open when you're a Christian. There are things that can come and they can torment you. They cannot possess a Christian, but they certainly can hang out in the body and torment just like a disease can. And to me, that's foolishness for anybody to think otherwise.
The mind, will, emotions can be tormented, and of course the body itself, and spirits of infirmity in the body, but our spirit man is totally secure as a born-again Christian, and we don't have to worry about our spirit. We're going to heaven if something happens, but In the meantime, these demons can really torment the body area and the mind, will, emotion, the soul.
And I had the opportunity that Monday night to speak with a couple of men that have been, well, at least since 85, because they told me they were over in Africa in 85, working deliverance with people over in that nation, in that part of the world. Both Jack and Jim are going to have on here in about 10 minutes to give us some teaching, but that was an absolute blessing talking to those men. I mean, those men were have been working for the Lord to deliver people since I was a teenager, and it was just absolutely awesome to listen to their stories. And I listened to one, and I went to go check on somebody. I was listening to Jim, and I come to check over, and there was Jack telling the same story as Jim, and they were word for they were so word for word. It was like they got together ahead of time and said, "Hey, you make sure you tell this story, and I'll tell this story." So it was neat. It was neat to hear. Yeah, it was neat to hear.
Story.
Yeah,
it's and, the same story. So,
and I just love the fact that when they were over there, they said, "Yeah, that was back when we used to shout them out."
Yeah,
louder was better. And as Pastor has witnessed to us and taught that. They hear just fine. You don't need to shout at them. I guess you
That's
get excited
right.
when you first. You get excited when you first learn it. But I have a little testimony. I was sitting there as I was talking with Brother Jack and another ministry head there, Brother Clint and Brother Chris. They were talking about a few things, and I have been plagued with for most of my life. With fever blisters, cold sores. They usually come when I'm really stressed out or right after I get sick. And I just recovered from the flu, which there's a testimony there because that recovery was pretty quick. I was starting to wonder if I was even going to be able to make it out to Oklahoma City. And there was a lot of people praying for me, and I was taking my authority over that virus and commanding it out. But anyway, I had this, I had a cold sore starting to come up. They get really painful and start itching. And I asked the gentleman there, I said, "You know, I've never thought to just pray this thing away." And both Clint and Jack went through a prayer. And Clint took me through something that was interesting I'd never done before. He had me speak and say, "Well, we're going to come out of agreement with it." And had me speak those words. But anyway, they had done it. And the next day, it was withered up and dried. And it never manifested into a full fever blister. It's I'm kind of rubbing it right now. It's a little bit of a scab where it healed over. It never started hurting. It never itched. And these things usually afflict me, and they're there for about 3 or 4 days. They're very painful. But I'm of the belief that they just didn't curse that one. I'm of the faith that it was completely removed from my body, and I'll never have another one again.
Amen. And what they said... I was certainly understandable, because more than likely, as many people would with some infirmity, they start telling people they have such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And when you speak out loud, it goes into the spirit world, and so you're in agreement with mm-hmm. the spirit. You've actually spoken a curse on yourself. Which is allowing that spirit to operate. So when you come out of agreement or break the curse and rebuke the spirit that's associated with it and then speak healing, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
He had me say, I come out of agreement, had me speak out that I break all covenants with it. And then,
mm-hmm.
and then Brother Jack, cursed it to the point that no life could come back into it, that it would wither up and be gone, spoke healing power into my body. I mean, I could feel the prayers as we were going through them. It was just absolutely magnificent. And
praise
I just, it's kind of silly. You think sometimes, oh, that's nothing just to bother the Lord with. That's something silly. You know, I'll come to him with the big things, but these small little things, I'll just suffer through it. And I have no idea, Brother Everett, why I never thought to ever just come to the Lord on these things with something. I mean, it was kind of like, oh, I don't want to bug you, Lord.
It shows, Ralph, what a big God we have.
It is.
The cross again, he gave us, when he said we have all power over the enemy, that's even the little stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
And it's really, nothing's too little or too big for Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the love of our God, because he wasn't bothered that I came before him on that. He wasn't bothered on such, what some might say, such a little and minor petition. He listened and let us apply the power that we have, and I was healed of it. I was healed.
Hallelujah. That was worth the trip right there, wasn't it?
It was worth the trip. It was. That and the great fellowship, great food, and just a fantastic time. It really was. We are planning on doing another one. Hopefully we'll see even more men that are led by the Holy Spirit that want to come do this. The date has not been set, but we are looking at sometime in possibly March is what the Holy Spirit seems to be telling us. Again, out there, if anybody was not able to make this one but have an interest in one in the future, they can get a hold of us at info@deliveranceusa.com. Again, that's info@deliveranceusa.com. Drop an email saying, basically that you've heard about this on the Hope Alive program, or even through another brother in Christ, or who knows, the Holy Spirit just might prompt you to do it, and you haven't heard about it. That we did have one man who showed, who had no idea what was going on, and the interesting thing was, Brother Everett, that I had talked to a few people. Some kind of seemed interested, some didn't. They didn't seem to be moving. And that morning, I had prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I guess I don't know anybody that's going to go. I want you to have who you're supposed to be there, and if it's someone I know, let me know. And then later that day, it was actually Brother Sean had texted me, and in the text he had said, I've been thinking about going out to Oklahoma City and getting trained. I'd like to be able to do that and go through some prayer deliverance. And I texted him back, mm-hmm. and I said, have you been listening to Wednesday nights? And he said, no. Why? And, then I prompted him on why, but tell me that wasn't the Holy Spirit telling that someone to come out there. I mean, he had no idea we were doing it, and mm-hmm. Just put it in his mind to get a hold of us. And Brother Shaw did reach out and did go out through some further ministry. He's been dealing with an affliction that is absolutely awful. And from all indications, it was a sixth generational curse. And I believe they got rid of it. I believe he's healed. And so praise God on that.
Praise God.
Awesome. Praise God. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit-filled weekend. Some of the things we saw, at least I saw, men in praise. Some men finally learned how to truly praise the Lord, not just pray to the Lord, but praise the Lord. I witnessed tongue speaking with interpretations and prophecy given. We had a great sermon brought to us Sunday by Pastor Oxley. Who was just, you could tell that man was moved by the Spirit, because he left his notes. He said he had 14 pages of notes, and he wasn't even looking at them. and we were given three tongues were spoken that I remember, and all three were given interpretations. So that was just fantastic to see that the moving of the gifts of the Spirit's there, the Holy Spirit. We had a couple of moms had come out, and they were prayed for and prayed over and got a release. So that was magnificent there. One of them was my mom, and hopefully she'll be coming on in the next couple of weeks to give her testimony. And then a brother of ours from down in Louisiana, New Orleans area. I guess when you come from the New Orleans area, you really do need some ministry at times, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on down there. He was giving some mm-hmm. testimony. I mean, you hear about it, but it's one thing to talk to someone who has a perspective as far as Christianity goes of what really goes on down there. And he was just wonderful talking to him. Brother Kyle was his name, and he said he'd been on before, and I think we're going to try to get him on again here in a couple weeks. So these testimonies are just absolutely wonderful. We do overcome by the word of our testimony, so they're there to build you up and edify. And it was just a wonderful weekend. Wonderful weekend.
You know, the testimonies still remain the best way to get the understanding of this works of Jesus across, is by people sharing what was going on in their lives, what it was like when they were ministered to, and how is their life now, X months later or a year later, whatever. That's the proof of the pudding, and that's why testimonies, you know, you can't argue with the testimony. You may argue with theology this way or that, but when people say, here's the way I was and here I am now, you can't say, no, you're not, because they are.
No. And then I praise God, too, is on that, is someone may give a testimony that someone else is going to hear, and they're dealing with the same things. Maybe there's someone out there that has had a suicidal thought and tuned in tonight. Maybe there is somebody that had some sort of infirmity. I mean, it may seem like a silly infirmity, but those cold sores, I've been plagued by them since I was about 11 or 12 years old. And so, you know, something that little can be delivered from. We've seen people delivered from much more and healed from much more. What our brother Sean has been afflicted from gave him a full medical disability out of the military, and I believe he's going to be healed from this. I believe he was healed for this, and that was no light thing. He has a syndrome that's absolutely awful. He had a case, an episode of it last summer when he came over and visited with me for a month, and it was one of the most awful things I'd ever seen. And so if he's delivered from that, that to me
is what
this show is about, and it's worth just that right there alone. But our Lord doesn't stop with just one healing.
I was delivered, Ralph, I was delivered from poison ivy, which I used to get pretty much every year from being a youngster on up, and it'd go all over me. And when I finally got into this knowledge and the understanding of deliverance, I don't have that poison ivy anymore. So that was worth a whole lot to me.
I get that from time to time, and I've never thought about just coming out of agreement with it, so I'm going to do that if I ever catch it again, because that makes me more miserable than having to itch everywhere when you're just scratching on everything.
I went to a convention in San Francisco with it starting up, and I even went and got some shots, hoping it would, hold it down. But I went to San Francisco, and I mean, it went all over me. I had to leave early from the convention. So, you know, it's another way of tormenting and harassing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God, we prevail in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Focus and do it.
Praise God. So, didn't catch it by trying to get off in the weeds to go fishing, did you?
Well, I just caught it everywhere. You know, no doubt it was some of that.
Yeah.
You know?
when you're an outdoorsman, it's hard not to get into it at times, even if you identify it. Well, it can sneak up on you real quick if you brush up against, especially if you're pretty allergic to it. So, well, praise God that you got delivered from that. That's another thing. I don't want to run out and try to waller in some, but if it ever comes again, I'm just going to just simply go to the Lord and take my authority over it and command it to go.
You got it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just that simple. It almost makes you feel like an idiot when you realize just how simple it's been over the years.
Well, you know, everybody's good at that pretty much.
Yeah.
Making it harder than it really is.
Yeah. So, but did any other ministry reports of anything that stands out in your mind from Monday while we wait on Brother Jim to call in?
Well, guys, if we could hold off on that, we've got Brother Jim just called in. So, welcome to the program.
Oh, well, fantastic.
All right.
Thank you.
Jim, are you there?
I'm here, Ever. Good to be with you.
Hello, right. Jim.
Got Jim's in Oklahoma also, and one of our team leaders. And I really appreciate you calling in, Jim, to kind of, if you could, share how you initially learned about deliverance, and then as you've grown in it, and what you do today, and any other experiences the Lord would lead you, and then you know, maybe those on perishing the thought would be excellent.
Well, specifically, we would like him to discuss that, Brother Jim, if you could, that perishing the thought. You probably got an idea how long it takes you to explain that, but that was really why we wanted you to come on again, because you just opened up the eyes of us men there in that room. And I had the pleasure of sitting down with other men and listening to this brother's testimonies over the years. And there is no ifs or buts about it. This man understands his authority in Jesus and has no fear of the demonic realm, and has been a mighty warrior for Jesus and a mighty servant to God for over these years to help deliver people. And I was just the Bible says to give honor to his honor due, and Jim, both you and Brother Everett deserve honor for what you've done over the years. So, and as that goes there, Brother Jim, just go ahead and just let the Spirit go and teach us.
Well, it's a joy to be in the battle, and I was with a denomination for years that taught that if you were saved, you couldn't have any demonic activity in your life. And, you know, my wife and I, for a little history, we went to a yoga class years ago and realized, and we suffered effects from that, just one class. After we left the class, my wife had a headache for 2 weeks, and she never had headaches and never was ill. And the Lord revealed to us that it was a direct result of attending the yoga class. And so we had communion one evening at home, and she was relieved of that. And then I started having back pain, lower back, and I've never had back pain. And so I realized that was also a direct result of the yoga class. And so she and I had been out walking on Saturday morning, and the pain was really overwhelming, and so we went back to our home, and I told her, I said, I'm going to take a walk. And as I walked, I said, I renounce yoga in Jesus' name. I renounce yoga in Jesus' name. And within 15 minutes, the pain had all left and has not been back, and that's been years ago. And then we had another denominational man that came in for ministry, for deliverance, and he was relieved of, and he had taught in a Bible college, and he was relieved of 8 demons. And then the Lord opened my eyes that, you know, a Christian, if we open doors to the demonic, if we open doors to that other kingdom, that we can indeed be affected by the demonic activity, and as a result. So I called Everett. I had met Everett years earlier, and so I called him, and I told him, I said, Everett, I used to think you were far out, but now I'm in league with you, I understand. And Everett said, be at the ministry session Monday night. And that was 10 years ago nearly, and we've been there about ever since, and ever trained me in deliverance, and I do ministry in my hometown near Oklahoma City, Norman, and also with Everett on Monday nights. And so the Lord had given me the 4 tools over the last few years that I share with people, and I've shared these with hundreds of people, and it's amazing to me that not one time has anyone told me the tools don't work. You know, Jesus told us very emphatically that we have an enemy, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And three New Testament writers told us we have an enemy, Peter, that said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's talking to spiritual Christians. And James told us that we have an enemy. In James 4:7, James said, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And then over in Ephesians 6, Paul told us we had an enemy. But before he did that, he told us who the enemy was not. Before he told us who the enemy was, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not your boss. It's not your mother-in-law. He said, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the enemy. And that enemy comes through people. And we think people are the enemy because it comes through them. And when we realize that it's not really people at all, it's the enemy operating through people, it makes it so much clearer and so much easier. And so the first tool that we talk about is the battle is always in the mind. Without fail, the battle is in the mind. Every sin begins with a thought. And there are three sources of thoughts: God's thoughts, our thoughts, and the enemy's thoughts. And we have to distinguish who's speaking to us. Some Christians don't know if it's God talking to them or the devil talking to them. And Paul told us over in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he said, take captive every thought. But people don't know how to take captive an intangible. So as a consequence, a lot of Christians' minds are like sewers, because everybody has thoughts, but they don't know what to do with them. And so I tell people, if the enemy wanted to say this to us, he would not say it this way. These three things, if he wanted to convey these three things, he would not say this: you're ugly and you're a loser and your mama dresses you funny. If he wanted to convey those three thoughts to us, he would say this: I'm ugly, I'm a loser, and my mom addresses me funny. We pick it up as our own thoughts, ruminating on it, coming into line with Satan's plan for our life. He has about Edwards taught us, he has about a 10-point lie program that he presents to each one. It would be different between us, seeing if we'll buy the lie. And he always uses the I word. One of his greatest tools of deception is using the I word, and we think it is us. He did that with Peter when Jesus was talking to his disciples. He did the same thing with Peter. He dropped a thought in Peter's mind. Peter thought it was his thought, so he gave birth to it by speaking it. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. So I teach people, when they realize the enemy's speaking to them, and the way you can tell it's the enemy is this: he always comes with fear, stress, anxiety, shame, guilt, retaliation, mad at God, hate your mother-in-law. All that junk is him. And so I teach people to take inventory of their thoughts, and when they realize that toxic thought is coming in, to say three words, to say, perish the thought. And I lead them through a prayer that will put in place a covenant between them and Jesus, that when they say, perish the thought, the Lord Jesus will actually extinguish the thought for them. And this is not win a few and lose a few. This is win them all, because of what Jesus did. Jesus transferred his victory to us. We don't have to win the victory over the devil. We have to enforce the victory that Jesus won. And so I teach people to say, perish the thought, when they realize that thought's coming in. And Jesus always extinguishes it. And the prayer is a short prayer. It's something like this: Jesus, I realize that all thoughts are not from you or me. Some thoughts are from the enemy. And from now on, when I recognize that a thought is from the enemy, I'm going to say three words. I'm going to say, perish the thought. And when I say, perish the thought, I'm applying the name and blood of Jesus to that thought, asking you to extinguish that thought from this day forth and forevermore. And he always does it. It's never failed one time. I had a man that was addicted to internet pornography, and he texted me 2 days after ministry. He said, I'm perishing the thought 150 times a day, and it's working. And I texted him back. I said, if you'll continue doing that, next week it'll be 100 times, next week 50, next week 25, and you will have renewed your mind. This always works. So the first tool is perish the thought. The second tool is sounds real strange to people, but the fact is if the enemy is involved, it's a waste of time to pray. We're supposed to pray for each other, and praying always seems religious. Christians pray about everything. But if the enemy's involved, it's a waste of time to pray. And the reason for that is because we don't have to win the victory over the enemy. Jesus won the victory on the cross over the devil. And then in Luke 10:19, he transferred that victory to us when he said, behold, I give to you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. So we don't have to win the victory. We have to enforce the victory that Jesus won. And if we fail to enforce it, it's as if he didn't win it. So when we ask Jesus to do something about the devil's activity in our life, we're asking him to do something he's already told us to do something about. I compare it to I tell people it's like my son. I tell my son, when the lawn gets to be 2 inches tall, your job is mow the lawn. Here's the lawnmower. And I look out there later, and the lawn is 3 inches tall, and I go to my son. He says, Dad, I'm just praying you'll mow the lawn. See, that's the way we do the Lord. He's told us to do something about the devil, and we're asking him to do something about it. Even though Jesus is over the whole universe, he's not going to do anything about the devil. I look out in the front yard, and he's got his prayer. My son has his prayer chain out there and his prayer warriors, and they're saying, Mr. Walter, we're just praying. You'll mow the lawn. Well, I'm not going to mow the lawn. That's his job. Jesus is not going to do anything about the devil. That's our job. Most Christians think, well, Jesus sees what's going on in my life, and if he wants to change, he'll change it. No, he won't. The fact is, Jesus will put up with the devil in our life as long as we will, and he won't do a thing about it for years. And he won't do anything about it as long as we don't. The good news is, once we stand up and say no to the devil, we have all the backing that heaven has. Because Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What he's also saying here is that most Christians miss is this. If you don't bind anything, I'm not going to bind anything. If you don't loose anything, I'm not going to loose anything. He's saying, give me something to work with. He'll back us up. We need to initiate. If the enemy's involved, we have to initiate. And Jesus will always back us up. So the difference that I'm trying to make is there's a time to pray, and there's a time to command, and when the enemy's involved, it's the wrong time to pray. It's time to command. But the good news is when we command and see it work and see the devil react to that, it empowers us. It's like the mayor of a large city. He's over the whole city. He's got a traffic cop out on the corner, and he will back him up with all the resources the city has. He'll give him more police officers, the National Guard, the U.S. Army. Whatever he needs, he'll get to him. But for us to pray for Jesus to do something about the devil, is equal to the traffic cop saying, well, I'm just going to pray that the mayor will do something about this traffic. Even though the mayor is over the whole city, he's not going to do anything about the traffic. Even though Jesus is over the whole universe, he's not going to do anything about the devil. That's our job. So, first tool is perish the thought. Second tool is, if the enemies involved, prayer will not work. The third tool is, you can shut the enemy down and other people by speaking it. I had a lady in for ministry, and she said, I'm going to court next week, and I'm afraid to go to court. The judge doesn't like me. My former husband doesn't like me. And the opposing attorney doesn't like me. I said, when you get to the courthouse, park your car and say with your mouth where your ears can hear you, I forbid the enemy to operate through anyone in the courtroom today against me in Jesus' name. And she called me after court and said they were all very nice. This never fails. You have the power to shut the enemy down in other people by speaking it. I met a lady after church who had been in for ministry, and I met her in the lobby, and she said, Jim, my oldest son has moved back in with me, and he's loud, he's obnoxious, he uses profanity, he's a bully. I couldn't believe she said what she's getting ready to say. She said, I've been praying that God would shut him up, but so far God hasn't done it. I said, are you using the third tool? She said, what's that? I said, between your mattress and your toothbrush, you should be saying, I forbid the enemy to operate through my son today in Jesus' name. She said, I'm going to dig those tools out. She called me 2 days later and she said, Jim, I'm saying that once or twice in the morning, and he's become an angel. I hardly know he's in the house. So, the third tool is you can shut the enemy down in other people by speaking it. It always works. It never fails. Being proactive with the enemy never fails. The fourth tool is if something's coming down the pipe, and you don't know if it's God, the enemy, or circumstances, you can say with your mouth out loud where your ears can hear you, if this is the enemy causing this, I command it to stop. Notice, I'm not praying, I'm commanding. My daughter was living in Florida a few years ago, and I was talking with her on the phone, and she said, Dad, I've been itching all over for 2 weeks. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. And I said, I don't know if this is the enemy, Debbie, but say this with me. If this is the enemy causing this, I command it to stop in Jesus' name. She said it one time, and it all stopped. But see, she put up with it for 2 weeks, so Jesus put up with it for 2 weeks. He'll put up with anything that we will put up with. By the same token, mm-hmm. He will stand against anything we stand against. So that's the four tools, gentlemen. Do we have any discussion or questions or anything?
That's just pretty simple. Brother, when you explain it to us, I had read your sheet, and I guess maybe I do better at someone visually explaining things to me, you know, not visually, but audibly explaining it to me and see you talking about it. I had been using it, but I really didn't understand it the way I understand it after you explained it. And I do thank you for coming on and doing that for us out there. I know that Brother Richard has been texting me. He's taking notes. So hopefully there's another person that's learned these tools. I like the example also you gave of the school teacher. I don't remember who you said, but the school teacher was having issues in her class and then started doing that and never had any issues.
Yeah, that's my granddaughter. She says on the way to school, that I forbid the enemy to operate through any one of my classroom today. And she told me, I've got the worst kids in my class and the quietest class in school, and the other teachers come to me and say, why is your class so quiet? Because when these kids are in my room, they turn the furniture over. And the amazing thing is, it always works. It's not maybe and hope so and maybe so and win some and lose some. It's win them all. Nothing better than that.
I've seen that work also. I have a granddaughter that teaches school, grade school, and kind of in a bad part of town, and it's been wild in there, and I told her the same thing about taking authority and shutting them down, you know, the enemy manning them to stop it, and sure enough, you know, where she'd pray in the car before she gets out to go into the school, and it just all turned around. She still marvels at it. I was talking to her about it at Christmas. And, you know, this power and authority we have is awesome if we will just use it. Dr. Charles Kraft out in California has written probably a dozen books, but I still remember him telling one time when he was here in Oklahoma City, and that is, he and his wife would head to church, they'd start arguing. And he finally got the idea, well, if this is the enemy, stop it. And it stopped. And so there we are, there's some tools. All of us can use those from time to time.
Well, Jesus wants us to be commanders. He wants us to be captains, lieutenants. But most Christians, unfortunately, are just like sniveling wimps. Why did this happen to me? Because they don't know who they are in Christ. We're supposed to stand up and jerk the devil around like a yard dog. And, you know, I'm amazed at the people who come in who have on the worksheet, on the rap sheet, they have a fear of Satan. I ask them, don't you know you're his boss?
Yeah.
There's something to remember, too, is Brother Drim here brought up about in the book of James, resist the devil and he will flee. And then Peter talking about being a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Peter and James weren't writing those to the unsaved. They were writing to the prospective churches they sent it to. They were talking to Christians. So here we are, Christians are having the devil and his demons looking for someone to devour, and then people out there think that they can't affect a Christian, which is ridiculous. But what's even more ridiculous is people don't realize they have the power. I mean, it's not ridiculous. It's just it seems ridiculous once you learn it. But it's just awesome. It's awesome. But it is. And I know from talking with you, Brother Jim, and Jack, and I know Everett as well too, that there is a belief out there. It's a false belief. It's come straight from the devil. The devil's the one that's going to want you to believe that I can't affect you, and demons, I can't affect you if you're a Christian. I mean, what's the best way to be under camouflage than to hide under that? They're at war with us.
Right.
They're going to have espionage. They're going to have their tactics. They're going to have their propaganda campaigns. And that's all part of propaganda, is to make a Christian believe they can't be affected.
Yeah,
well, Jim,
that's true.
I do appreciate you being on tonight, Jim, but we are out of time. I just got the thing that it's time for us to go. I do thank you for coming on, Brother Jim. Brother Everett, I will get in touch with you later this week about next week's program, and we thank everybody out there for tuning in.
And thank
Lord
you,
bless.
Jim, for coming on.
God bless, gentlemen. You. Good night.
And folks, if you would like the book, The Supernatural, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox that they talked about, we have it available here at Scriptures for America Ministry. You can order it at the website or give us a call at the office or an email, and we'll sure get that book to you. And hope you enjoyed the program. I sure did. Took a whole page of notes. Praise the Lord.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness.